This walking business is easy, isn't it?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know what all the fuss is about, really.
We never needed the wheel in the first place, really.
I know. Who came up with the idea? Stupid idea, anyway, no idea wasn't it? Oh. We're laughing now.
Goodness.
It's here. It's finally arrived. The big, big day. And this is what it's all about. We are talking the Scrap Heap Challenge Final.
Of the 8 teams that started out, only 2 have made it through to today's big final. First in pink, last year's Scrap Heap hero Bowser, with his top team, the Bodgers. They're a bunch of London bikers. With Bowser is wife Babs and best mate Lurch.
First, they survived water in an outlandish amphibious Land Rover. Then poor Babs took a bit of a tumble in the mileage race. But they still powered their way through to the final.
Tattooed opponents in the orange corner are rival bikers from Nuneaton, the Megalomaniacs. Joining Captain Big Nosh, a technical wizard Kev, and drag racing Daz.
First, when building their land yacht, things got pretty heated. But despite a sin sail, they cruised through. Then they got into really deep water, and it took all the Meg's muscle to salvage a rather damp mini.
For the ultimate challenge, the Megs have scoured the country long and hard for the ultimate expert. And their dreams may just have come true with Jeremy King. He's a special effects whiz for the movie biz, who can turn anything machine into anything you like. But the Bodgers have gone for brains, with engineering lecturer Dr. James Brighton. Like Bowser, he's just mad about motors, and his motto is, if it runs, then race it. As Babs has a bruised arm, Bowser's pulled in old Scrap Heap hand Anne Saunders to help.
So, you Scrap Heap gurus, only the 2 finest teams remain, Bodgers, Megalomaniacs. This is the final head-to-head for the Scrap Heap Challenge trophy.
We've decided to make the challenge nice and simple. Here's a couple of safes, and here's a couple of keys. So all you've got to do is build a machine that will carry all your team members and your safe to your key.
We better tell you, the course is, muddy. And just one other thing, we've completely run out of wheels. There's no wheels. Anyway, you have 10 hours to complete the challenge and your time starts now. Me!
So they've got to build a machine to carry the whole team and a heavy safe over a 50-metre muddy, bumpy tank course without wheels.
OK, so the wheel might be the most perfect invention ever. But have a look at this. Walking machines. I mean, these are much more fun.
Walking machines may seem bizarre, but they've proven kind of useful. This is the biggest walking machine in the world. It's a monster dragline crane built to shift 3,000 tons of coal a day. It weighs 1,000 tons, so instead of wheels, which would just be crushed, it has legs. There's also Damte, the walking machine built by NASA to investigate hot, hostile environments, like inside a volcano. Our teams won't be facing quite such treacherous terrain, but they'll have to build walking machines that can cope with a bit of mud.
So how are old Scrap Heap veterans, the Bodgers, going about it?
Whatever we're looking at. Now, one method to achieve this is using hydraulics, OK? We don't want to move the vehicle any higher off the ground than you have to, because obviously that's wasted energy and things like that.
Hang on. So it's like that. So it lifts it up, slide it along, drop it down, move it, lift it up, slide it along, drop it down.
Exactly.
Yeah?
So not only have we got to do something we've got no understanding on, hydraulics, we've got to get an engine, gearbox, link all this together, make it all work, pivot and walk.
I know. I don't know why I didn't make it difficult, do you?
The ambitious bodgers are talking about something no one has ever attempted on Scrap Heap Challenge before. A hydraulic machine. It's going to be a hydraulic slider.
They're planning to make a double-decker chassis. The top deck will need to be strong enough to support the team and the safe. And the lower deck is going to be on rollers, which will allow the top to slide forward. To power this monster machine, they'll need an engine. And most important, hydraulic rams. Two to lift the top deck up, and two more to push it along. It's a tricky one to engineer, so the bodgers have got their work cut out.
It's a tough one for the Megs to get their heads around too.
Well, I think, first of all, we're going to need a chassis. Yeah. Hopefully, a four-wheel drive. But I think this is probably the simplest way of getting a good bit of forward, strong forward motion out of something where we aren't allowed to use wheels. Where it's going to be walking on its belly,
yeah.
Then the outer two go, you need three hands.
The Megs are debating a sort of walking car.
They're after a four-wheel drive vehicle, so they can use its chassis and, most crucially, its engine. They'll have to find strong skids or something to use as feet and conjure up some means of connecting the feet to the chassis. This'll be the toughest bit for the Megs, as what they need to do is make a car which usually does this into a car that'll do this.
So the rival biker teams rev up their quad bikes, the only wheels they'll clap eyes on today, and race onto the heap. This time, Nosh's northern lads have got Big Bowser and Scavenge King Lurch to beat to the scrap. This week's judge is the king of crazy contraptions, Neil Davis. He's an eccentric inventor who's made everything from remote-controlled steam engines to jet-propelled go-karts.
No, they've got none of these. That's all they need.
No wheels. The perfect machine wheel. We haven't got any. So we've got to go for a walking machine.
Right.
We've got to make feet and legs. Right. And we've got to make them go up and down and push and pull. And technically, very difficult.
Yeah. It's amazing how good wheels are. You forget. You take them for granted, don't you?
Out on the dump, it's the Meg lads who are first to corner some kit. It's a wheelless old Jeep, and they need more Meg muscle just to move it.
We need a hand dragging in a... We've got a Jeep.
Super Scav Lurch is on form. He's swiped some rollers off a baggage carousel.
Hey, excellent. It's got bearings on it. Brilliant.
It's heavy. Half a ton.
But Bowser can't resist the allure of a nice metal sheet.
Hey, Bowser, how you doing with those rams?
It's Lurch, whose eagle eye spots the first hydraulic ram.
What is this?
It's an old crane arm, chock full of rams, but it's too big, even for Bowser to budge.
Unbolt it, it's only pins.
Although hydraulics seem like alien territory, we all use them in the brakes of our cars. A hydraulic ram is made up of an outer sealed jacket and an inner piston that moves up and down when oil is pumped in or out. Why hydraulic rams are so powerful is they transform a small amount of pressure exerted over a large distance to a much greater pressure exerted over a shorter distance. It's just like a car brake. Pushing the pedal takes little effort, though you have to push it down a long way. But it exerts enormous force, enough to stop you crashing.
Looks like the Meg lads would relish some ram help. The Jeep weighs a ton, and though Nosh and Jerry are no 7-stone weaklings, they have to slide it in on a ladder.
Okay.
Whoa! The huffing and puffing pays off, and the Megs have themselves one Jeep.
Gentle enough for you. Okay, so if you two want to go out and get whatever else we need on the shopping list.
Yeah.
Jez and I will set to work on...
Strip it.
Trimming this down.
What are this to be done?
Out on the heap, Bowser's on a ram raid. He needs four rams for the roller, but tearing them off a crane is tricky business. Bodger Boffin James offers some words of wisdom.
Get those two. Take those two, bring off all the pipes as you disconnect them. Bring that oil reservoir and the valve block and any of the pipes you can get.
Paul, do you want to start dismantling this?
Yeah, we'll give it a go.
A lovely job for lugubrious Lurch. The Bodger's hydraulic hunt gathers pace. Bowser's a few rams richer, and Lurch has taken to beating that crane to a pulp to pillage all its parts. The Bodgers may have half a crane in their clutches, but there's still a few rams short of a roller.
Can we just take the rams off and then chuck this?
We'll take this ram off.
We need another two rams, don't we?
Yeah.
For Dump Demon Lurch, it's back to the scrap. Over the wall, Jerry's in his element. He's on a destruction derby. As a special effects freak, ripping up wrecks and blowing up rigs is what he gets paid for. The chassis shaking, though, is to lighten the load. For their jumping Jeep, they just want the bare bones and that motor.
That sounds sweet.
So what does our judge, Neil Davis, think of the Bodger's ambitious slider versus the Meg's jumping Jeep?
The difference between the two teams is they're going for, from what I gather, a mechanical approach, and they're going for a hydraulic one, which confuses me because they both look pretty mechanical to me. Can you explain the difference? I mean,
the mechanical machine literally just uses mechanics, rotating shafts, levers, cranks, and the feet on the end, and it makes the legs go up and down.
And this bit here is effectively the four-wheel drive
that's
car.
That's the four-wheel drive.
That's where they'll all be sitting on that.
That's right. And these two pieces here in my hands, these represent the feet. They're going to rotate up and then come forward, down onto the ground, take the weight of the body, which is the central portion, and then that's going to come up and rotate forward and put itself down on the ground, and then the feet will come up again.
Right.
Very, very lurchy, chunky. It's going to be quite difficult to control, and it's going to be a horrible motion. And it's sort of going to go up with us, and lift, and it's going to go crunch, and it's going to go down. And the clutch is going to be being put under tremendous strain, whereas really what you're doing is driving a vehicle across a ploughed field against the furrows, if you know what I mean. The Bodgers, I mean, they're going hydraulics. Technically difficult, very difficult. The hydraulic system is the most complex from the engineering assembly point of view.
Looks it. I mean, they all look pretty baffled at the moment.
The hydraulic machine, in theory, should be the most reliable. And it will be very efficient. They get it wrong, disaster.
Right.
So, Bowser, it's a little bit off your normal territory, isn't it?
I mean, although it's big and it's going to be heavy and it's going to be fairly slow, I'm not sure that it's actually that complicated. Once you get your mind around the idea of what it's going to look like.
Talking of which, just help me get my mind around, because I've got a picture of lots of different moving bits and rams all over the place.
First thing is, this is upside down. This framework is going to slide backwards and forwards on it.
Right.
And there'll be a ram attached to the front and there'll be a ram attached to the back.
So you've got two sliding rams controlling your forward motion.
That's right.
But then you've got other rams as well, haven't you, which do your lifting you up.
Those two are going to be on like a framework like this.
Yeah.
That will come up and down like that.
Oh, I see. So it's that kind of a motion.
That will lift us off the ground.
Yep.
Then one, it will push it forward and it will slide on the top of these rollers.
Right.
All right. And then it will back it down again.
I see.
Then we can move this back into position and it'll push it forward again.
Right.
The reason the Bodgers have gone for a double-decker design is that for their machine to walk, it has to move in stages. First, the two rams on the lower deck extend to lift the top deck up. Then the rams on the top deck push to slide it forward. It's then lowered back down, the lower deck slides forward, and the whole process starts again. It's a continuous lift and roll kind of a motion.
Right, okay.
With rams and rollers aplenty, the pink team build picks up pace. They're building a beast of a chassis, completely from scratch. So Anne, the Bodger sub, gets stuck in.
This thing ain't gonna fly.
Well, hopefully not.
Oh, you made a right mess of that, Nosh.
Oh, thank you, leader. It's a team effort.
Is it? Yeah.
It's very much a team effort.
You just brought in a car and ripped it to bits.
And totally destroyed it, yes. Yes. Yes, it's... But it's there to serve a purpose.
So can you just kind of have a look at the actual car and you explain how it all fits together?
Please, have a seat.
All right. There we are.
Yeah.
We're in there.
Yeah.
So it's going...
See, we've chopped the roof off so you don't bang your head. This is how you'll be.
That's good.
But your teeth will fall out. I'm sure.
We are hoping to give girls a ride for visuals, you understand.
Yeah.
So the Meg's jumping Jeep's taking shape. They've got a stripped-down chassis and a working engine, but they've got to the tricky bit. They need to figure out how to make the Jeep axles, which normally turn wheels, turn feet.
With this simple motion, we're going to lift ourselves the same as push ourselves forward. Now, if we're willing to risk 6-inch ground clearance, that's going to be efficient and we're still keeping our 6-inch radius, which is powerful.
So Jerry's the man with a plan, but it's power mad Nosh who dons the design cap and draws up something called a cam.
A cam is one method of turning rotary motion into linear or up and down walking motion. It's basically a tear shape. One end connects to the Jeep axle, and the other, with a bearing, joins to the foot. As the cams rotate, the legs are lifted up, then crunched down to make the Jeep take a step. The size of the cams is important. The smaller the cams, the lower the stress on the machine, but the smaller the steps it'll take. Bigger cams mean bigger steps, but further to crunch down, so there's a much greater risk of collapse.
So what you're doing at the moment, this looks like you're...
These are the cams.
Cams. I was looking for that word.
Yes.
Not clams.
Not clams.
No.
So you're cutting them out of fairly chunky bits. That's not that. That isn't the cam there, is
no,
it?
That's
your template.
It's
a template. Because that would be rather bendy. Can you explain to me what that joins onto?
Well, it's just you're turning rotary motion into reciprocating motion. So it's round to up and down.
Oh, I see. Round to up and down.
Right.
By about seven inches.
I see. So that goes on the wheel. And it goes around like that.
Exactly. That goes straight onto the hub.
And then on there, there's a thing coming out that way.
There's a whacking great big chunky bit of axle.
Oh, look at the size of that.
That's lovely.
Half of that.
So that ends up going around like that.
Yep, we've got like that. I have one of his ear piercings.
Right. Now, that would be painful through your nose, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Nosher hardly needs more piercings, but he does need to get on with making those cams. Being a megalomaniac, he goes for dirty big cams so their machine can make monster steps. He'll risk anything, even collapse, to beat Bowser.
Teams, you have 5 hours remaining. 5 hours remaining.
Lurch and Bowser haven't got time to mess about. They might have a load of rams, but to power them, they need the scrap heap number one bit of kit, a good engine. It's Lurch who strikes lucky.
Wow, yes!
Oh, baby, light my fire!
We need something that's not too heavy again, but nice and stiff, that we can make the feet out of.
Their machine was 2 feet short of a walker, but in true megalomaniac style, they've nabbed some mega-sized motorway barrier.
The Meg's plan is to use 2 chunks of barrier, one for each foot, and a bit of ladder to raise up the height to reach the axles. They've already made cams which will join the feet to the Jeep. So the plan is that with a bit of engine power and some nifty footwork on the clutch, the axles will turn, the cams will rotate, the feet will go up and down, and the Jeep will jump.
So bash happy Jerry's all aglow. He's got 2 bits of barrier and a big ladder to hack up. The bodgers, meanwhile, are getting revved up. It took blood, sweat and tears for Bowser and Lurch to get that heavy engine. But at last, it's in.
Right. Which is the front?
That's the front. I've decided.
This is the front. Okay. Right, we'll go with that.
So the Bodger's pink roller's got a double-decker chassis and an engine.
That's good.
The idea is that the engine will drive their hydraulic rams via a hydraulic pump. The engine and pump will run and pump oil continuously, but a set of levers will control the oil flow to each ram individually. One lever makes the first ram lift, another makes the second ram push, and so on. If it works, the roller should slowly but surely shuffle forward.
Bowser's the master of the motor, so takes charge of getting it mounted. It weighs half a ton, so not wanting their roller to tip, Bowser wisely places it in the middle.
Oh, yes! Yes, 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 yes.
Things are moving on apace in there now, aren't they?
Yeah. They're making really good progress. I mean, I'm pleased to see the engine mounted now. It's central, yeah. It's in the right place. They've got a nice frame, it's strong, they've got the runners ready. They've fought it out, they've built it tough, and it could go.
If one's going to fall to bits, it's going to be the megalomaniacs.
They have got a serious durability problem in the fact that the design does not lend itself to staying together. It's going to be a really crashy-bashy type of thing. Once they start these 18 stone guys jumping around on top, it's going to be absolute murder.
There's a combined mighty meg weight of 70 stone and a ton of car for those legs to support, so they've got to be strong.
Okay, guys. 2 seconds of your time, sir. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about your how things are coming along over here.
Well, it's okay. We've got all the bits, but we've just made so many bits.
It's the old thing of joining them all together that's always the problem,
that's
isn't
right.
It?
It's all a bit of a race at the moment.
How much work is your actual engine going to be doing? Because it's quite a weight it's got to lift, isn't it?
We know the weight. We know it's the four of us, or us little lightweights.
Yeah.
Plus that little light safe, plus quite a heavy piece of car as well.
Yeah. And what do you reckon the total weight is?
I don't know. It's got to be a ton. So it's not like madness, but I mean, it's going to...
It's pretty close to madness.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's
all right.
It's not going to be the comfiest ride on the planet either.
But everybody's teeth are going to fall out.
Is there any machine that exists where you could have a comparably uncomfortable ride, I'm wondering? I think you dodging cars, but that's side impact.
Only if you went
impact.
Down a flight of stairs, I think. Dodging cars down a flight of stairs. I think it's probably going to be the ride experience equivalent of the steel.
So really a walking machine? For a final challenge, it's a pretty tough one, isn't it?
It's the tough one. I mean, many people in the past, historically, have attempted to make walking machines, and most of them have failed because they are so difficult to work. I would love to see these two machines work and disprove all these past inventors, because walking machines are great. Let's get rid of the wheel.
Walking machines have been around for an age, but check this one out.
Walking's a very lurchy, unstable sort of motion. And research labs like this one in America have been trying to develop machines with a more elegant gait. But designing the perfect walker is no easy feat. In Britain, Solihull lad Kiahi Seymour has come up with a rather ingenious idea. He's designed these incredible springy boots to bounce along like a kangaroo.
So, Kiahi, tell me about these extraordinary boots.
Well, humans, when they're walking, we've evolved to walk on a heel, but most fast land animals have actually evolved that they don't actually walk on a heel, they're permanently on their tiptoes, which sprinters, that's how sprinters run, their heel never touches the ground.
And where did the idea come from?
Well, first originated.
It's one of those things you just
sleep. I'll make a pair of springy boots. No. When I was 12 years old, I was watching a natural history program on kangaroos, and it said how they were able to jump up a 15-foot wire fences by using the elastic Achilles tendons. I want to see if I could replicate that with basically an artificial Achilles tendon for the human locomotion.
Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
Kiahi's hoping to market his boots. They could be a big hit in, say, California, but for carrying your shopping home, maybe not.
While we've been bouncing around, there's been a bit of a catastrophe in the pink camp.
Have you welded it to the frame or something?
James!
Bowser's gone a bodge too far. He didn't leave enough clearance between the top and bottom decks before welding them. Now the heavy engine's on, they've been compressed and are stuck together.
No, I'll tell you what, I try taking some of the weight off. Might straighten it.
All right, yeah, you think it's bowed slightly?
I think it's probably bowed slightly.
How much clearance did you give it when you actually welded those on?
No.
We just
5 mil? None?
Nah, none.
None at all?
None at all. Right, you're going up, Paul.
And now,
you've got to go down.
And now we're surprised it's solid.
Up more?
Down more.
The rollers need to be able to move freely so the top deck can slide over the lower deck. At the moment, they're going nowhere. Bowser's overzealous welding and the weight of the engine has forced the two decks together. Unless they're separated, all the bodgers have is a great big rigid table.
Right. Welding torch, heat them up individually, hit them with a hammer.
Yeah.
Right, now.
At the moment, the only thing that'll roll is Bowser's head. Unless you get to move on with that hammer and bashes out those welds.
Teams, you have 3 hours remaining. 3 hours remaining.
Sometimes I wish my welding wasn't so good.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
If Lurch is singing, it's obviously safe to take a peek.
Incredible.
Well, I should wait off my mind because I just tried tugging it just down. The whole thing was locked up solid.
Right. This has got to be the biggest thing I've ever seen. This is just so big.
It's bigger than a big thing. It's enormous.
Bigger than an enormous big thing. So where will you sit on it? Whereabouts, where will you be?
That's a good question.
Oh, I see.
Would you like to ask me a question on sport instead?
So as usual, the human occupancy of a scrap heap machine comes very late in the day.
Well, it comes so late in the day, we haven't even thought about it yet. No, we'll have 2 sit at the back and hopefully 2 sit at the front to try and balance it.
So, I mean, have you got any idea of how fast you can move along in a straight line?
I've got absolutely no idea whatsoever.
My only worry is the engine.
Well, the engine's going to be too hot.
It's just going to get overheated because it's got to run that sort of constant, quite high speed for a long time, hasn't it?
You don't see very many Ford Escorts with hydraulic pumps on the gearbox.
No, not a lot.
It's not. It's a very difficult thing to compare.
Yeah, it is the only engine we've got.
That was the only one we found, and so therefore it's perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
And that's basically.
The Bodgers may have the perfect engine, but it's the Megs who are motoring ahead. Kev's come up with an ingenious idea of how to steer the jumping jeep by putting a rotating turntable underneath.
Just warm up across there and bend it.
What we can do as well, if we go with a scaff pole straight down through the centre, come up through the middle of the car to quite a reasonable height and just put a T-bar on the top of it.
Yeah.
Because 2 of us are going to be standing on the back of this thing.
Yeah.
You just heave on the T-bar and turn the car.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
And it's switched tolled onto as well.
For their steering, the Megs are planning to build a sort of huge record turntable. It'll be attached by a rod running through the centre of the car to a T-bar on top. To turn, the driver will ride the clutch to keep the feet in the air, while the rest of the team use all of their weight to twist the T-bar, which will rotate the turntable. The feet are then lowered down, and the machine can jump off in a new direction.
But before they jump anywhere, those hungry Megs need to refuel.
Don't worry about it.
So I thought I'd drop in and see how things are going.
Great sight.
Do we look worried?
No, you look really relaxed. You look very calm.
You think about it, the way it's actually going to move, you know, you're going to go ba-dumpf.
Yeah.
Ba-dumpf. I mean, us three here are not particularly lying. We've all got beer guts. You know, it's going to look delightful. You're going to ba-dumpf.
Oh, God, it's going to look horrible. Never quite thought of it like that. Should we do it naked?
Teams, you have 2 hours remaining. 2 hours construction time remaining. Thank you.
Okay, boys.
That steering plate system they've developed is actually a really clever idea, and very friction-free, so it should be very easy to turn this heavy vehicle around on it. Right. And of course, this is the steering.
Yeah.
This is their only means of steering.
Yeah.
They have to literally stop, pivot the vehicle, point it in a new direction, and then head off into the sunset in that new direction.
If it works.
Right, there we go. Now.
They all stood on it and had a twist round. So
God, that was a test, wasn't it? Yeah. Those guys.
That's how stable it is without his side feet.
Hey!
So who needs roll cages? Where are we going?
All we got to do...
The Bodgers have decided... Well, theirs is going to be sprayed pink. It's going to be called the Pink Roller.
I think, actually, that they've lost track of what they were told in the first place. You know, I'm sure they said, it's a tank course, we've bought a tank.
We'll actually, yeah. That's right. It's actually the steering on the Bodgers machine that I'm still not completely sure of. It's pushing a table round a corner in the mud.
The table's not on the ground when they're turning. So you move one leg...
And the other one can effectively slide around on the
one leg will move forward. It will slip, it will move, but the other leg will turn. It will only turn a small amount, probably.
The secret of the Bodgers' steering design is that they can operate each of their four rams individually. It'll be a sort of shuffle system. To turn right, they'll pull the right ram back and push the left ram forward. This'll inch their roller to the right a bit. They can operate the opposite rams in just the same way to turn left. It won't exactly career round bends, it'll be more like a Zimmer frame shuffle. But luckily for the Bodgers, the tank course is pretty straight.
The pink slider won't be going anywhere, though, until they get those hydraulics in place, and with just over an hour to go, there's still no sign of them.
So, Neil, it's pretty close to the end of construction now, and I'm going to ask you the scrappy classic question. Who's your money on?
I'm going to go on the side of reliability, and I think that the reliable vehicle will win, and on that basis, I still think the Bodgers are going to win.
Oh, you still think the Bodgers are going to win? Right.
Okay. Yeah, well, but tomorrow's another day.
It is.
Teams, this is your final 1 hour warning. You have 1 hour construction time left on this, the final construction day, on the final day of Scrap Heap. The final hour has finally come. You have finally 1 hour left, finally.
Is that definite?
Not this bit.
Just let me check.
Talk about cutting things fine. James has only just started to fix the hydraulic levers onto the pink roller. Meanwhile, the Megs have been too busy either bashing or gyrating their Jeep. They need those legs attached if they want that car to walk.
Here it is. Here's the big feet. Here's the cam. There's the big bar that will hold it all up. This goes around like that. Turns it around, up go the feet, forward, ba-doing, ba-doing, ba-doing. I mean, it's fantastic. It's just a kit car, really. What was once a little Jeep is now a giant walking machine. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. Sorry, guys.
Teams, this is your 30-minute warning. 30 minutes construction time, one half an hour of construction time left today. Thank you.
Bowser thinks it's a biker's weldathon. But for James, it's a ram race to get the hydraulics up and running.
Lovely job.
That was gassy.
Two of them big bolts are up there, quickly.
A bit of Bigfoot connecting on the Meg side, and it could probably walk for England.
Okay, you Scrap Heap veterans, the gong has been gonged. We took away these and you were not disheartened. You rose to the challenge and you've reinvented the wheel.
We'll see you at dawn for the great showdown, the Scrap Heap Challenge final, to see who's going to walk home with this.
Hooray! Woo! Hooray! Hooray!
It's the Scrap Heap Challenge final showdown day. And this muddy tank track at Liscombe Park in Bedfordshire is where the wackiest walking race in history is about to take place. Our two rival biker teams are revving up for the race. Bowser and James are busy last-minute bodging on the pink roller's hydraulics, while Big Nosh and the Megalomaniacs are craning in their one-ton jumping Jesse.
The course is 50 metres long. First is an easy 20 metres straight. Then our biker rivals have a difficult choice. It's either a plunge into the murky, muddy water dip, over which dangles their safe key, or it's a barge through the obstacles on the outside track. The obstacle option means stopping their machines to get off and get wet to collect their key. Inside the team's safes, guarded by Bowser's wife Babs, are team flags. Safes can only be opened and flags raised on the finish line.
The Pink Roller's hydraulics are finally in place, and Bowser's eager for the big test.
They've actually designed it with four controls, one for each hydraulic ramp.
Right.
Now, this is going to mean really, you ought to have four hands, you see.
Yes.
Wonderful manual dexterity here. And the other thing is, I don't know whether they've thought about which way round they put their pipes. So the right-hand lever might make the right leg sort of go up and down, forwards and back. And the left-hand one will probably do it the opposite way around. So they could go around in some interesting circles.
Not quite circles, but that pink roller's rolling.
Yes! And it ain't going to go very fast, but it will get there. Slow
That's amazing.
Sure.
I would never have believed that.
Engine blazing, Lurch and the London bikers are ready for the off. So I thought I'd better offer the Megs a jump start on their Jeep while it's safely in the air.
It's the spoon ignition. Is there a knack to this?
Yeah.
This is brilliant!
What clutch control!
Fantastic!
Just magic! It looks just wonderful.
It's a little bit sticky.
Oh. But you got a runner. I mean, you know, you got a runner.
It's fantastic!
It's a runner.
Yeah.
We've got a race.
Click it in.
Go on.
So it's cranes ahoist. Before our hefty walking machines get a jump in and a roll in, they get a little lift to the start line.
That's it. Pull up to me. It's about right, isn't it?
As if they need any extra weight, there's that hefty safe to haul on board.
You go, get off on. Gather round, ye scrap heap finalists, you no-wheel vehicle specialists, and prepare for the race of the century!
OK, teams, to see who's going to get their grubby hands on the Scrap Heap Challenge trophy, here's what you've got to do. Teams and safes have to make it round the course. You can only get off your vehicle to get your key. The team whose flag makes it to the top of the flagpole the first will be the 1999 Scrap Heap Challenge winners!
OK, let's get the race started.
Time for our machine maestros to join their balmy contraptions on the start line.
Everyone wide the mouth shut. You can do it.
Careful getting on this. This is the last time I travel Virgin Atlantic. All right, drivers, start your engines. Are you ready, teams? Are you all ready? On your marks, get set, go!
They're off! They're galloping forward!
They've moved forward about 2 feet.
The Bogart motive roaring ahead!
The Meg's jumping Jeep steams off at an astonishing 10 metres a minute.
I think the other machine's got some sort of minor problem.
The Pinks have got a bit of a problem with their engine at the moment, Kath. Oh, it's running, but it's going like that. Like in a classic scrappy way.
Poor bodgers. It's not the hydraulics failing them. They're being let down by that old Escort engine. It's misfiring and not giving enough power to drive that hydraulic pump.
We worked out that the hydraulic machine will move at about 1 metre a minute.
1 metre a minute, quite a lick.
Because of their dodgy engine, the roller's barely pushing half a metre a minute.
I think it would take about 120 days to get round the M25.
Come on, budgets! The megalomaniacs just cavorting towards that barrel obstacle.
Barrel barging's proving a little tough for the jump-in Jeep. But remember, the Megs can't get off, so it's down to a bit of foot power.
He remained on the vehicle through the whole of that movement. The bodgers are still managing to move. They are still moving, the bodgers are, but they're moving very, very, very slowly.
unfortunately, if you haven't got your hydraulic pump running, you can't move with a hydraulic machine, and their engine's not driving the pump properly. And it's a real shame. They have, you know, a really good concept.
Go on, Nosh.
Nosh has been nominated to plunge into the muddy swamp to retrieve the Meg's key.
Nosh has got the key.
Oh, he hasn't untied it. His delicate little fingers.
It's very difficult to untie.
Mud lover Nosh needs to hurry up.
Come on, look, you can build a walking machine. Surely you can undo the key.
The rules are that their machine can't move till he gets back on.
He's got the key. There we go. The bodgers are absolutely on their tail at this moment. It's a neck and neck thing, really. And here comes the path layers moving on now.
It's got a little bit of a lean on it now, hasn't it? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's the least of its trouble.
Well, I think they've got the steering a bit out of kilter. He's a foot underneath. He's now 90 degrees out of phase.
Oh, disaster. The Meg's mighty muscle is too much. They've twisted the turntable too far. It's now dragging and getting stuck in the ground, stuck on the feet, just stuck.
Yeah.
Oh. 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 Bit of a big stall there.
It's all the time that they've got these difficulties. In actual fact, the bodgers are very slowly creeping down the pit after them.
Power to move.
Yeah, but we're still moving.
Oh, it's horrible to watch.
The foot on the Megalomaniac's machine is completely out now. It almost looks like one's going forwards and one's going backwards. It's very ugly.
Looks like 1.5 ton of man and machine crashing down on 2 bits of motorway barrier is more than the poor jumper can take.
I don't know if you've noticed, but Nosher is actually hitting it with a tyre. It's a well-known method of hammering things. It's not looking very good, I have to say. The Megalomaniacs did so well to get this far, but it's like having a four-legged animal where all four legs are broken. All the time they're spending fixing their bent foot, slowly but very surely, the bodgers are creeping up behind.
The bodgers' pink roller might be slow, but at least their hydraulics are consistent and have kept going. So much so, they've made it to the quicksand.
And in the meantime, the bodgers have got their key.
Of course, the dirty work's left to Lurch, who steams back to the pink roller. Remember, they can only roll when he leaps back on.
Come on, bodgers!
Sadly, the Megs are still in trouble. Tyre bashing clearly didn't help, so they're giving those legs a different kind of belting.
I mean, I worry whether a belt that generally holds up a pair of lightweight jeans is really quite going to be strong enough to hold a couple of tons of pressure twisting on it, but we'll see.
I believe that the bodgers are now closer to the Megalomaniacs, and they have been all through the race.
So, you know, right, actually,
it's a classic tale of hare and tortoise. The bodgers' reliable hydraulics have allowed them to slowly but surely creep up. There's just 12 metres between them now. The bodgers could well be in with a chance.
Come on, bodgers!
Come on, Megos, in there.
Come on, Megs! Each step is a step closer to the demise of that machine, isn't it?
Well, yes, but it's shaking itself to bits, as we expected.
Five metres now from the finish line. It's the first part of the vehicle that goes over the line is the winner.
Austria quick fit fitter immediately.
And the Megs finally claw that finish line! Woo!
Get on!
It's not over yet. They've got to get their team flag out of the safe and raise it on the flagpole.
Come on, come on, come on.
Open it.
The safe's open. The flag's out.
Go on, lads.
I don't believe we made that.
Bit of nifty finger work.
It's incredible.
It's on the flagpole. It's all
hoist
over.
Hoist that flag. Hoist that.
There it goes.
A disappointed but sportsmanlike Bowser offers his hand, and the celebrations begin.
This is yours!
One white truck, slap on some chrome and plug in some state-of-the-art in-car entertainment, and what do you have? Find out next in our premiere, Dream Machines.